Hello and welcome to Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo. I'm Nathan.
No, I'm Mariana and I cut in, but I'm happy.
Cut in. It's good to see you so happy.
So happy with this episode.
Oh, wasn't it just the best episode of the season so far?
It tickled my fancy, I have to say.
Is it one of the best episodes of Housewives like all year?
All year, definitely.
I can't think of anything that would top it.
Because it's made me happy. Like there were fun ones or hilarious ones. Like obviously New York's been amazing, but they've been sad.
Yeah. For every high moment, you've got Ramona pooping, you've got Sonia peeing in the haystack.
They've been angry drunks this season in New York, and it's been, and I've got to say, every time I see Luann slurring her words, I cringe. I can't cheer for someone who's
have you
attended
noticed?
AA. I can't cheer. Sorry, let me rephrase. I can't cheer for someone drinking when they've just a month or two ago attended AA meetings. Like until they clarify what their sobriety journey is, I'm not going to cheer their drinking.
But none of these Potomac girls seem like big drinkers. Like none of it's been surrounded.
No, and I do have to say, as per the first episode when I think it was Giselle says, till now we've been able to hold ourselves sort of above the stereotype or the fray is what I keep thinking. As housewives go, they are a little above the fray.
They are. But like, it's still fun to watch them having fun together.
Absolutely. Like I'm loving the ladies this season and I'm loving hating some of the ladies this season.
Yeah. But so, this episode, it just gives us everything.
It gives us everything. It doesn't – it's – like, don't get me wrong, there is the to be continued and holding back, but I don't feel like I've missed out.
Yeah, and like, what's the episode called? Like, look who's squawking.
Look who's squawking.
Like, that's just highlighting the breakout character of the season.
Which is T'Challa, because I'm calling him Chichompa.
The real name's T'Challa.
I'm calling him Chichompa.
Yeah, Karen does the Chichompa.
And after seeing this episode, I'm back on board with the bird.
Way on board.
I'm so on board with the bird. The bird is the star. The breakout star of this season, Wendy Who, basically.
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to get on Twitter yet.
No, but I haven't, but I will. I promise I will. But someone will show me.
The at effing Bravo page,
yeah.
Our cover art is actually T'Challa.
Oh, my God,
like,
I'm so
as
behind.
As if he was a housewife.
I'm so behind on my life.
It's got the letters and with little T'Challa sitting on it.
So loving that bird. That bird is a very good judge of character. Quite wise.
Quite wise.
Quite wise for someone who's not even the 1 year old. The only unfortunate part of this episode is that we have to start with Candace and Chris at home.
I know. And that really sets the bar low, doesn't it?
It does. And she's pretending. I'm going to say pretending.
100% pretending.
Everything she's doing is pretending. So Candace is looking at houses on her laptop. Fake. Chris walks in drinking with a wine. Of course, I would too if I had to talk to Candace. And she says in her confessional that looking for houses is fun but exhausting. And I'm not going to necessarily disagree with her, but when I saw the scene, I was just like, first world problems, you are pathetic.
I know. Well, what she's doing is she's acting like she's too picky, like, oh, this one's not suitable. And I'm like, that's just because you can't afford anything or you're not liquid enough to buy anything.
Correct. And we flash back to the scene last year where she's looking at that $2.55 million house. But then she starts looking at houses that are $1.2 million, so potentially...
So she's downgrading herself?
Well, it's potentially closer to her budget. That's a lot of money.
Oh, my God, it's huge.
It's a
but
huge
from
amount
2.5
of money.
To 1.2.
It's a big downgrade, correct. But then she goes on that she doesn't like anything. She can't find what she wants. So she's going to buy this house and have no money left to reno.
She has a house that her mum bought her.
So... 1.2. Well, she says she's paying the full mortgage.
So why is she
but
looking?
But does that mean that her mother is not on the deed? I doubt Dorothy would have taken herself off it.
It's just another fake pregnancy storyline.
She's not. I personally don't think she's only paying half the mortgage because unless Dorothy signed the house over to her, why would you pay a full mortgage on a house that you don't own? So basically the kids in Vanderpump have more money than she does because she's looking at the 1.2 upper limit and we all know they've spent more on theirs and did reno and bought furniture.
Oh.
So, you know, yeah, those kids have more than she does. Goals. Okay, so then, unfortunately, she goes on again about the fake baby news. And apparently that's why she's looking at houses, because she's going to be having a baby and she needs more space.
Whatever.
I mean, how much room does a freaking newborn take?
Not much.
They sleep in the bed with you. Or a cot, and yeah, they just need like a little corner for their nappies and bibs and shit.
And like, she's still using condoms, so like, well, it's not really a discussion.
And apparently they're not having sex anyway, according to Chris. So,
oh yeah, fake.
Fake, fake, fakey, fake. And then Chris asks about Karen's housewarming party, but he calls it a block party. Yeah.
What anyway, a dag.
I know. I'm going to say it. He's too white to say something like that.
He's so white. He's
like, come on, dude. Like, you're making me embarrassed. Just stop. And then she tells him about her conversation with Giselle. She says she apologizes, but she says, I apologized for any confusion or misunderstanding. Now, that's not an apology.
No.
I'm sorry that you're confused.
Yeah, there was.
Because you thought I was rude, but I really wasn't. So I'm sorry that you were upset for no reason. But that's
Giselle,
what she's saying.
Giselle wasn't confused. Giselle knew what she was angry about.
Nobody was confused what Giselle was angry about. But then, so yeah, that wasn't an apology. And Candace clearly needs a lesson in apologizing. Okay, can we just move on? To
Please.
The whole point of the two of them sitting there, which is Chris pretending like he's trying to convince her to go to Monique's lake house.
Yeah, Candace was always going to go. Of she's like, oh, a scene? I'm there.
Of course she's going. It's her job
it's
to
a trip.
Go. It's a cast trip. Can we stop pretending that we need a fake reason to go to the trip? I mean, Monique's reasoning at Karen's party was, oh, we've all changed, so yeah, it's a get-to-know-you party.
We're reintroducing
bitch.
Ourselves.
Okay, so she doesn't want to go to the lake house. Of course she doesn't want to go to the lake house. No one likes her. At the Sip and See, everyone was in on her. Mm-hmm. Every single person. I mean, except for Karen, who was all about the shrimp.
And Wendy.
Everyone. Wendy doesn't count yet.
No.
That's right. Chris tries to convince her that it's a good idea to go and that not everyone's got the shits with you. And she's like, oh, yeah, let's go. It's just bullshit. I mean, I can't.
All her scenes so far have been bullshit.
So another point of contention with myself and Candace, because she gives so much grief, is that she says that her beef with Giselle is not a big deal and that her beef with Monique is more personal because she's put more into that relationship.
Mm.
So I'm just like, okay, so you're either not friends with Giselle or you are friends with Giselle. I mean, it's just so fake. And, I mean, Chris is trying to say there's a lot of options for this to be a good trip. It's like at one point he had his head in his hands.
Chris
it's
is like, bitch, just go.
Just go to the fucking
Give
lake
me a
house.
Night off. I'll see you on the last night when the husbands are invited.
Is he going to go?
Oh, he has to. She's not going without him.
Well, then he's going to have to sit there and fight on her behalf. Poor Chris. If he should just start comfort eating. He's got nothing else. So then we have scenes of the ladies at home packing for the trip. Robin's packing, Karen's packing, Wendy's packing.
I love a little packing scene. Packing.
I do love a little packing scene, but I'd like a little bit more from each scene. And then Karen's packing, no one cares. She's packing with her assistants. Ray's nowhere to be
seen. I did like how she said Ray fell asleep in a couple's massage.
Like, can she stop pretending that Ray's not the 75? If your partner's falling asleep in a couple's massage...
Yeah.
Like, let the man go to Florida. Just tell him I'll meet you there at the end of the season.
Let the man go to greener pastures.
I wonder if all his friends have moved to Florida. That's why he was so chuffed to see them at their
sad.
House party. Maybe when he saw them entering their house at the house party, he was like, I haven't seen you for 3 months because you all have fucking moved to Florida and left without me.
Yeah.
I want to have dinner at 5:30 and be in bed by 7.
Amazing.
Watch the Golden Girls.
I love the Golden Girls.
I'm obsessed. I've started rewatching it.
I rewatched it all in ISO.
It's my comfort. Like,
so what? Who's your favourite?
Oh, the mum.
Sophia.
Sophia's my
favourite. Yeah, she is the funniest.
Sophia reminds me of an older family member that I have. Yeah,
but you're more of a Blanche though, right?
Oh, I'm a bit of a Blanche. I mean, yeah, I'm a totes Blanche.
I'm calling you a whore.
Yeah. Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah, I'm a totes Blanche. However, yeah, no. There's no however. I'm a Blanche. So who are you?
I don't know. I'm probably more of a, I don't want to say it, but I'm probably more of a
Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, back to the not golden girls. Well, yes, sort of. Robin's packing, blah, blah. Karen's packing, Wendy's packing. And then Giselle's on the phone with Jamal's assistant trying to organise a time to get together with her ex.
Isn't that sad?
I understand her children's embarrassment. Uh-huh. I'm embarrassed for her. There is nothing hot about this.
And the assistant's like, I want you two guys to get together.
Well, of course she does. She doesn't want to have to keep cleaning after his messes.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please get back together with your husband so I don't have to juggle his five assistants out the back door.
But why is he that busy?
It's just his five, what do we call them? Affairs out the back door.
But he's just a minister. Like, surely it's just a church on a Sunday.
Oh, it's a mega church.
It's a mega church on a Sunday, then mega mass.
So, you know, like the Hillsong?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But why is that not predictable every week? Is he taking meetings?
Well, it's not predictable every week.
As if churches don't have set times.
They have set, yeah. The bigger the church, the bigger crap they have to do because it's all about, okay, I don't want to say it's all about pulling in money because it's
community outreach, let's call
correct.
It that.
Correct, community outreach. It's all about community outreach.
Okay, so he's busy with that.
And also he wouldn't be the only pastor, so there would be a schedule.
The way they talk about him, it's like he's the one.
Well, he's the one in the newspapers, but
because of
no, there'd be another pastor. There'd be an assistant, but there'd probably be a couple. It's like the basketball sweetheart. They got a few coaches.
They've got some people on the bench.
The dude bought his kids a restaurant and was happy to share that on national TV. So he's not trying to hide any coin. He's getting paid that much coin.
Yeah.
Like they ain't wearing Rolexes because they're gifts. Yeah.
He's doing better than Father Mark down down the road.
Yeah. He's doing better than all of us. So Ashley's packing with Michael and Michael walks in with baby Dean. And look, I've listened back to the last few episodes that we did and I kind of feel like I was giving an incorrect impression of how I felt about Michael.
You're being too nice to him.
I was trying to be realistic so that when it was time to slam on a bitch, it was felt. And now we're here.
Are you talking about like when they were shopping and Michael was being really abrupt and you're like, he's got to go to work.
I've just been, you know what it's like? Okay, so I love to purchase items. I don't enjoy the art of shopping.
Okay.
So I'm the kind of girl that if we go on a shopping day, after about 45 minutes, I'm like, can we stop and get a beverage or get lunch? I'm done.
Yeah.
So I don't care for the let's look at every fucking item in the store. Mm-hmm. I get the shits. Mm-hmm. So I was sympathizing with an unsympathetic human.
Okay.
But here we go. He walks in and she's packing and he actually goes like this. I'm just going to sit back on the mic. He's like, what are you doing? You never seen a bitch pack a suitcase before? You got her call sheet. What the fuck's your problem? His problem is he just went, oh, yeah, that's right. She's going away. What's happening with the baby?
He's like, you're taking the baby, aren't you?
You're taking the baby, aren't you? Because you really should take the baby.
The baby needs to be with his mum.
It's been 3 days. Now, I don't know if you were here yesterday, Michael, but the baby has a fucking name. Why are we calling him the baby? Because it's the baby and the call sheet? Your son's called Dean. She gave your son an Aussie name, which as an Aussie, that's a bad name.
Yeah.
I wanted to say disgusting, but just in case you have a family member named
Should've
Dean.
Should have called him Hot Dogs or something. A true Aussie name.
Dean? Dean? It's so old school.
Dino. Dino. And it was so annoying how Michael's just like, he needs to be with his mother.
He needs to be with his mother.
I was like, you
three
clearly...
days is a long time. Well, what, you're going to be away from your kid for 3 days.
He wants to get his dick wet.
Apparently so.
Like.
Well, he ain't getting it wet with Ashley with a broken butt. Mm-mm. Dude, just go get a freaking wet terry towel cloth and dampen her and sort your shit out.
Michael's so lazy.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he needs some skincare. I don't approve. So then he reveals, then he says to Ashley, oh, you look great, which I thought, are you trying to make up for the last episode in the shop when you're a dick?
Yes.
Yeah. And then he says, actually, can I just pause? Mm-hmm. My next line that I wrote was, and we get a shot of Ashley's camel toe, which I didn't need.
Oh, I missed
Did
it.
Did you see?
Tell me you took a photo.
I took a photo. Yes. I have made it bigger.
Oh, no.
Here's the photo of the toe.
Oh, my God.
How big of a toe is it?
That fabric is getting swallowed up by that toe.
Like, if you if I don't feel comfortable with my weight, I'm not up for white spandex. Oh. But look, if you are, power to you. But that is some serious toeage. That is some serious big toes bigger than the second toe. Well, you wanted to see the toe. Oh, you got the toe.
Can you shut your screen? I can still see it.
Let's leave the toe available for viewing. Michael reveals that he's become an ass man. Well, Ashley says, you've become an ass man. And he says, I've become an Ashley man.
I was like, weren't you an ass man when you groped the cameraman last season? Or?
Well, okay, I love that's your question. My question is, well, you're married to the woman. Weren't you always an Ashley man?
Probably not.
It's like he's trying to make up for the last episode, but he just continually puts his foot in it. It's so sad. It's so cringy.
But Ashley's eating up. She's like, oh, that makes me feel really good.
She says that.
And I was like, oh, Ashley. That's the postpartum talking, sweetie. You're better than this.
Exactly. All right, so enough of Michael. So we're at Monique and Chris's house. And we get to see Monique's short
hair. I believe
it's
T'Chompa's house.
Oh, T'Chompa's house, correcto. And we get a little squiz of Monique's short hair.
So I liked it.
I'm sure is that her real hair? Oh, is that what we're calling it?
I don't know.
That can't be a wig.
Just call it her short hair.
I just feel like it's her mum hair.
Yeah, it's her not for lazy mum hair.
It is her not for lazy mama hair. And so she reveals she's been going back and forth between her lake house. And so I Googled how far away it was because that's what I do.
How far?
It's an hour and 18 minutes away.
Oh, bitch, that's here to Sydney.
Now, like if she says I've been going back and forth, how stupid are you that you can't get your shit together and go to the house just once?
Hire a big truck.
Hire help? I'm starting to agree with Big Boy. Bitch, hire yourself some cleaners.
Do you know what? Big Boy's got a point. I don't want to hear Monique complaining if she can afford help.
I'm assuming that when she says she's got to get the house ready, it's because production is like, these are, we want to see the house and this is what we want you. So she would have gone up there with production and they would have gone, okay, this is what we want done. So that's one visit. Now she's got her second visit. You don't need a second visit.
No.
Give your keys to your assistant, who you've actually mentioned that you have one, because she says that she's so busy. She had to meet with contractors along with her assistant, get the pool ready and change the bed linen.
I didn't notice there was a pool.
Yeah, there's a pool.
Oh, there's a lake. Just use the lake.
Now, why is she meeting with contractors? What needs to get, like, what's not finished at the house? If you need to get people to finish renovating your house, how is that anyone else's problem if your house ain't ready?
I don't know.
But
it was so funny when the editors overlapped everything.
I know, and her just babbling on about all the shit she had to do. But all she ended up saying was contractors, assistant. Well, yeah, you got to meet with your assistant. You're on TV.
The assistant who will do the work.
Yeah. Get the pool ready. What, you got to put the little pool creepy crawler on? You got to go put the thing in the pool, press a button.
Turn the filter on.
You got to press a button and then watch that thing go along the bottom of the pool and eat all the leaves. Oh, my God. So devo.
Maybe.
And change the bed linen, which I'm pretty sure your assistant did. Like most people, when they can afford six houses, as we know she said before in her first season that she's got six houses.
I wonder if this lake house counts as two because we know there's a guest room.
I doubt it. A guest house and a lake. No, that counts as one house.
You reckon?
Well, the guest house, I did notice, thank you very much, only had one oven. No, her house, the lake house has two ovens.
But not in the same kitchen?
Yeah. And the guest house at the lake house had one oven, excuse me. Wow. I just,
you know what? A guest house with an oven, that's pretty good.
The guest house had an oven and a microwave and two bedrooms and two bathrooms. And these women deigned to complain.
Oh, yeah.
It's bigger than frickin' Robin's house. And she complained.
Yeah. Well,
So then Big Boy offers her a breakfast sandwich. And look, I only mention it not because it's newsworthy, but because kids, I don't know what a breakfast sandwich is. I know what a breakfast burrito is. They're the things that I have when I'm hungover and I don't want to puke in my mouth.
Do you think it's just a ham cheese toasty?
Oh, is that all it is?
I don't know. Like,
it's a breakfast sandwich, but he got them the day before.
Oh, no.
He said, I got breakfast sandwiches last night. Now, I ain't eating.
You don't pre-buy breakfast.
You don't, I'm not eating a stale toasty.
It has to be a toasty.
Like, if I'm hungover, I might eat a stale chip out of a bowl that was at the party because FYI, nothing is better for a hangover than stale twisties. So good. Stale cheese twisties out the bowl. You know, like when you're cleaning up from a party and there's crisps there and you think, should I eat them? Yeah, you eat them. We all eat them. Tell me you eat them.
I eat them.
They see? Everyone eats them.
Okay.
I even buy gluten-free Twisties because gluten-free chips all taste stale.
Oh, you're sad.
They're for my day after. After a big night,
you
I want...
You pre-plan the Twisty?
Dude, I pre-plan the day after. I am in that age box. When you get to my age, you pre-plan your day after.
I'm not in any box.
I buy fried rice for the day after. I buy shit ton of fried rice. That way you can have it cold or heated or whatever. But you
cold fried rice?
So good. I'm a wog. We eat everything cold. But you don't want like the best Asian restaurant fried rice. You want food court fried rice. You want bland.
Mm.
You want bland and greasy. You want
easy
that to come
stomach.
Together. That's right. But that's what you're having for lunch and for dinner the next night. For breakfast, I want cheese Twisties and 2 minute noodles.
Or leftover pizza.
Or orange. Yeah, but see, I don't want to chew. I don't want to chew too much. I want to like gull like a seagull. I want to chow down like my dog does. Literally, yeah. Like choo-choo swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I plan my hangovers. The hangover's the best part. It's the time that you're lazing in bed and you haven't showered for 2 days. It's so good.
I don't need to be hungover to not shower for 2 days.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'll join you on that. So anyway, we're going on about this breakfast sandwich that no one knows what the fuck a breakfast sandwich is because we don't have those. Oh, that's when I wanted to pause again. I wrote, let's pause again for Chris's sexy Barry White voice. And I do love the way that Chris, when he was referring to Chichampa, says, I don't fool with that bird. And so then we realise that Chichampa is going to be going to the lake house with Monique and the girls.
Oh, so good.
So Giselle arrives and she meets Chichampa.
Giselle arrives in activewear, but she's not working out.
She's in full glam and has heavy gold hoop earrings.
But she's wearing Lorna Jane.
No one's wearing Lorna Jane with those big gold hoops and full glam. She didn't do that makeup. I've seen Giselle when she does her own makeup. That ain't it. She went and got full glam and she probably was wearing the athleisure wear when she got her glam and went, fuck it, I'm not getting changed. Which probably means she didn't shower.
Was she hungover?
If you're putting on athleisure wear in the morning... You know, you're not putting that on after a shower. You're pretending that at some point in the day you're going to work out. So she's in full glam, like face makeup, and she probs hasn't showered. Just FYI. And then Karen arrives in a crop top with her top abs showing.
I loved that. And the girls loved that.
She looked amazing in that. I couldn't wear one of those. And bitch, she's almost twice my age. Okay, maybe not twice. That'd make her like 80. She looks great.
She's great.
She's looking good.
Karen's like, I hope Giselle's fashion sense doesn't rub off on my knee.
Did you just die of laughter?
I died because that's what we've been saying for the past 5 episodes.
I mean, I've got page reams and reams of like, this is why I stopped taking photos.
Because your camera roll is just full of trash.
I'm like, Karen has clocked her fashion. I'm now vindicated in my disdain. And then I actually started to feel bad because I thought Karen was so polite compared to the shit I've been saying. Like, I've been saying Giselle looks disgusting. Like, disgusting is a Candace word.
No, you always say that she's got a good base. Like, she's a pretty girl.
Oh, she's stunning.
It's just the taste level.
Yeah, but I'm literally saying that her taste is up her cooler. I kind of feel like a Candace. But anyway, so now when someone's a bitch too far, they're a Candace to me. And then so Karen says, thank God Giselle is a good-looking woman because goddamn she can't dress at all.
So true.
She says, I'm ashamed to be seen with her sometimes, to be honest. I don't know what she's going to wear. I get a headache talking about Giselle's clothes. Then she asked for Excedrin or Tylenol.
Karen's the best.
She is a queen.
She's saying what we're all thinking.
I believe that this season Karen has funnier than our Lanithia Monique Nini leaks.
Oh, Karen's the best.
Karen is funnier than Nini.
She's the grand dame.
She freaking is. She is like everything in this season. She's just carefree. Like it's almost like she does not give two fucks.
Yeah.
She's just going to say it, not apologize for it. And I'm soaking it in.
Mm.
I'm so here for it. I want to clap. I'm a clapper. I'm one of those.
I think we have a button for clapping, don't we? Yay! That was worth it.
All right. Then they go outside to pack the, well, they call it a truck. It's a ute.
It's a ute.
Why are they calling it a truck?
I don't know. Maybe they don't have utes in America.
I don't know. That was a ute. Anyway, and Chichampa poops and the camera does a close-up and a slow-motion shot of Chichampa pooping and then you know, Karen makes a vomit noise. Literally, when I saw Chichumpa pooping, I did a Karen and went, Father God in heaven.
Father God, H-E double chopsticks.
H-E double chopsticks, that's right. And she keeps making these vomiting noises. And Giselle has like a what the fuck face and she laughs out loud. And Chris keeps going, what happened? Did he poop? What happened? Did he poop? What happened? Did he poop? And it just, oh my God, I laughed so hard. It was so good. Okay. Sorry. Did you love it?
I loved it. I love the bird.
Oh my God, I'm so into Chichumpa today.
Right?
What happened?
I don't know.
Well, we know what happened. It's coming. We all know what's happened. We all know what's coming.
Imagine if someone's listening to this and doesn't watch the show and they're like, what's coming?
Who's listening to this? Who's listening to this if they haven't watched the show?
Hi, Mum.
Don't make her listen to
this.
She
didn't get to episode 5. We know that.
She didn't?
No, of course not.
She's not into it?
Who knows?
Tanya, what are you doing? What are you doing between watching Below Deck Med? She you know what it is? She's got a life.
Yeah, that gets in the way for some people, apparently.
Why have one?
None of my business.
Who wants to do anything besides sit on the couch and watch Bravo?
Not me. That's why we need more Chichumpas in the world.
We do need more Chichumpas. Except I'm not getting a bird. You can get the fucking bird.
Okay.
And then Giselle is in the ute. I don't know if you noticed, but like she's sitting next to Chichumpa in the cage and she's like full body facing away, which is not easy to do in a car.
Why is she so afraid of the fucking bird? She's just playing it up.
Maybe. Yeah.
I know. I just feel like it's funny when Karen does it. And then when Giselle does it, it's not as funny.
Yeah. Giselle seems. Yeah. Because Karen's making a joke out of it. Karen's like, I don't want to deal with it. Whereas Giselle is acting like she's massively freaked out.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yes. I love this part. The ladies ask Karen why she's late. And she's just like, well, I'm a diva. Mm-hmm. And I could not agree more. I loved that line. She literally just says, I'm a diva. In other words, I do not owe you any explanation of where I was, when I get here, when I don't get here. Just fucking drive the car and get us to the scene.
Yeah.
Because you all need me here.
Uh-huh.
And it's true. Giselle and Monique aren't friends. They need Karen in the fucking car. Mm-hmm. She'll get there when she fucking gets there. You know what I'm like when I love someone. All forgiveness.
I did like how Monique was driving herself. Like, yes. You know how, like, yes. In New York they'll always have a driver?
Yes.
I was like, oh, it's good to see a woman behind the wheel again.
Oh, I wonder if no one would take a bird.
Oh, maybe that's it.
But, I mean, you're driving an hour and a half away. You don't. No one needs a town car, well, except Candace, who literally arrives in a fucking town car.
Candace is...
Who's hiring a car? Like, drive yourself, bitch.
For an hour? Like, oh.
An hour and 20 minutes.
This is why we call her Fuckface McGee.
Giselle says she has to leave the lake house early, which I wouldn't bother mentioning.
What the fuck was that?
I wouldn't bother mentioning it except apparently her book is nominated for an award.
She doesn't say what award.
I.e. her ghostwriter is nominated for an award.
What award?
I understand if it's an autobiography, you have a ghostwriter. I get it. Someone is telling your story because you have a story to tell. When you're writing a fictional book loosely based on your life, mm-hmm. loosely based means I've pulled a couple of threads.
Yeah.
She still gets a ghostwriter.
But not a ghost reader. What's that flashback from Monique's read?
Monique's like, that's right. So the flashback is Giselle trying to read the blurb from her book to the ladies. She probably had about 12 mistakes. Like she'd never read it before. It's a blurb.
But this isn't a literary award, is it?
Apparently, no, she does. She says the words literary award.
It can't be.
She says literary award.
No, I refuse.
Oh, I don't know. And Monique in her past confessional says, thank God she has a ghostwriter because we know she can't write, but that she might want to invest in a ghost reader.
I wonder if anyone has read it.
I haven't bought it. Have you bought it? But then I haven't bought any of their books.
Do you know what? I read Gina Liano's autobiography at David Jones. I just like in a lunch break at work just went, flipped through the pages.
You read the whole thing in David Jones at lunchtime?
It did not take me a long time.
Wow.
I mean, I flipped through a few pages, but yeah, like boom, done.
Hmm. And we all know that Luann's got a new one coming. Should we read it?
Let's read it.
Let's read it.
Let's read it
and then, like, you know, discuss.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have a little, what do we call that? A little book club.
Mm.
Apparently they've all written books.
They've all had books written.
Yeah. Well, what's her name? What was that housewife, Carol?
Carol.
So.
Radzivill.
Apparently the gossip is she did have a ghostwriter.
Oh, all right, Aviva.
No, not Aviva. Like, people from the publishing world have told other writers that she had... I don't know if that's just people wanting to be bitchy and gossipy, but people that worked with her at her publishing house have revealed to other writers that, yes, she had a ghostwriter.
I believe it.
Well, I just think potentially for the second book, she kept postponing writing. Oh, yeah. She kept putting it off and going, I haven't written anything. And then all of a sudden she's got this book written and I'm like...
I smell a stunt.
And then we see Wendy at home pumping her tatas.
Why? And do you notice she got the bom-ba-dom, bom-ba-ba-ba-bom music?
I did notice that.
And I was like, oh, are they making her out to be an idiot?
Yeah, well, it was kind of...
I don't know, but it's the bom-ba-bom.
It kind of reminds me of like Alice in Wonderland when two dumb characters are about to get caught doing a dumb thing.
Yeah, it's the
like
sound...
Like Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Yes, it's the sound of on The Bachelor when a contestant rocks up, they get that music, you know they're not going to win.
Right.
They're the comic relief.
Oh, I see.
It's a bit like Curb Your Enthusiasm, like...
Yes, exactly. Okay.
And she was just pumping breast milk around the clock for some reason. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't need to see you pumping your tatas.
Nope.
Like, I'm a woman. I'm fine seeing tata. I don't need to see that.
I don't need to see that.
No.
And when she rocks up to the lake house a bit later, she's like, oh, I've got to put the breast milk in the fridge.
Oh, it's all
in the freezer.
About
this. But I was like, if you haven't got the baby, why have you got the breast milk?
Well, because...
She pumped on the way?
Well, she has to.
So on this 1 hour trip...
She would have had... Well,
she would have pumped.
She would have pumped, yeah. So apparently, like, if
tip it out the side of the road.
So, but she wants to save it for the baby. She wants a backlog so that if she wants to have a beverage, she can use that milk.
All right. Yeah. We love an economical queen.
Yeah, well. Okay, so we're quickly back in the ute and Giselle tells Karen that Wendy's been bitching about her and our diva gives us that line again, Father God, not another one. And she chooses to chalk it up to Wendy being new and nervous, but Karen did say that she's a ride or die chick and that you don't want to be on the left side of her. So it's kind of like she's saying, you've got one more chance, don't fuck it up, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Both Giselle and Monique tell her about the fact that, well, that Wendy said that she and Ray doesn't have sex and that's what she's referring to, which I'm like, why is Wendy doubling down on that? It's almost like
she really is.
She's like, so from my recollection, the scenes at the beginning of episode one started with Karen saying, Wendy isn't acknowledging the fact that she knows me better than she knows everyone else. And then she thought, oh, well, fuck it. Then I'll just ignore you. Like, I don't need this to be my storyline. Yep. I've got my other shit going on. I've got my, you know, she's got a business that she wants to sell. So she doesn't want to sort of pigeonhole herself into that being her storyline. Quite clever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is me on the fly. And then now I'm talking about it like I know it's fact. And so then Wendy started with the whole Karen is acting like she doesn't know me. It's like, well, you started it.
Yes. So I've got some receipts on this one.
Thank you.
So you know how later in the dinner party, Wendy's like, we're on the same board, Karen, not just a board, like a sub-board together.
On a subcommittee of the board.
The subcommittee.
Yes, yes.
And then the production show, like photos of them two at a red carpet or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
So Karen tweeted, and I'll just repeat the tweet.
Oh, please.
For the record, so it's crystal clear. There was never a board meeting nor a subcommittee where you, Wendy, and I physically were in one another's presence.
Wow.
We never had a face-to-face meeting.
No.
Any conference calls where we were participants were not visual. No Zoom, Skype, period. Adding to that, there was a snapshot or two of you and I posing on a red carpet, and that is the extent of our relationship until you started hanging out with the RHOP ladies.
Wow.
I never broke bread with you before that. I'm looking forward to our dinner.
Oh, my God, they still haven't gone to their dinner.
They still haven't gone to the dinner. This is August 31st or
so
whatever.
This was like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So season's ended. They still haven't had their dinner.
Nope. But she's looking forward to it.
But she's looking forward to it. I love her.
That's
it's
so
like
good.
Sucker punch and then, well, not even a sucker punch really. She's like, these are the facts and I'm not going to say you're anything in particular other than you're lying.
Yeah.
Now, do we believe Karen? I believe Karen. Or am I believing Karen because I want to believe Karen?
Yeah, maybe I'm the same.
I can never tell.
Well, I believed Wendy when I watched the episode and she's like, we're on the same subcommittee.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, good point.
And now I believe Karen.
And now Karen's like, we didn't actually meet.
Wendy didn't reply to that tweet?
Not that I've seen.
Well, if someone's saying that you weren't in the same room together and they were lying, you'd be like, there were people in that room and blah, blah, blah. If she hasn't turned around and said, well, we were and there are other people in the room to say so,
yeah,
then that means that Karen's not lying.
It's not enough to build a season off of Wendy.
No, no, it's certainly not. Mm. And yes, so both Giselle and Monique, as I said, they tell her about Wendy, and we get flashbacks to the last episode of her telling Robin that Karen doesn't pussy pop on a handstand. I mean, as if Robin or Wendy do either. Come on.
No way.
They couldn't even do it physically, and who does after a few years of a relationship? No one's doing any of that stuff. Like, we don't need to discuss it. This is not the forum for that.
No.
And so then we finally arrive at the lake house, which is pretty soon in, but, you know, it's finally to me because of obviously the ending at the last episode.
It's just nice to be getting somewhere.
I know. And the house is big.
It is huge.
But, yeah, sorry, I cut you off. You were saying? You were just saying it was nice to be getting somewhere.
Oh, it's nice to be getting somewhere because, you know, we're in ISO, like.
Yes. Yes.
It's nice to see people going on trips. I remember back in the day when we used to go places.
I know. Going to the Woolworths is fun these days.
Yeah. I'd love to go to a lake house.
I know. I would love to go to a lake house.
It is the biggest compound.
She has a golf buggy to drive to the little, what are we calling that?
The guest house.
She has a golf buggy to ride to her guest house.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And this house is bigger. I mean, apart from Monique's other house and Karen's rental, this house is bigger than anyone else's house.
The property is huge. I was getting Sister Wives Mormon campsite.
Totally.
Where that person, that wife lives in that house, that wife.
Yes, it's huge.
Huge.
And it was quite lovely. I mean, the outside was lovely.
And I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, I guess.
The inside was like a horrible green. I don't understand it. And did you notice that the kitchen at the lake house has a double oven?
It
wasn't a side by side. It was on a top and below. Still, okay. I don't got a double oven.
Wow. My first house doesn't. Well, my first apartment doesn't even have an oven.
I have a grill under my double oven. So I've got a grill inside my oven and a grill underneath the oven. But no one uses the underneath grill. Who needs two grills? I need two ovens. I don't got two ovens. I don't know. Anyway.
And did you know she already has a giant birdcage in that house?
No. So,
yes. She walked in. Brought in that stupid tree that she had at the back of the
That thing was gross.
And then I was like, oh, there's already a giant birdcage.
Well, she did say she's been schlepping to the lake house all week.
So T'Challa has more homes than me.
Oh, my God. He does.
And his birdcage is just as big as my unit.
Oh, my God. We're so sad. But, I mean, the ladies were teasing. So the ladies were teasing Karen about Wendy and about them being on boards together. So obviously Wendy's been bitching further.
Mm.
And then Karen throws shade at Wendy about being a freelance correspondent for CNN. So presumably Wendy keeps mentioning that bomb.
But that's cool.
It is a what?
Being a freelance correspondent.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Not if every single conversation you have is, hi, I'm Wendy. I'm a freelance correspondent for CNN. And I have 4 degrees. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Because even Giselle was rolling her eyes when Karen said that as in kind of agreement. Because Karen was being snide and
it
Giselle
would be grating.
Giggled. It's just we get that is a big thing for you. But how many times are we going to congratulate you? How many times do we have to get our pom-poms out and cheer for you, love?
Truth.
And so Robin arrives and they all tease her because she's normally very late. So I think they're all really excited to be there because they're all getting teased.
In that grey muumuu. Sad.
She looked like she was in Kmart jammies. No shade to Kmart jammies. I have Kmart. I have Kmart
jammies. You're wearing
them
right now.
I'm looking going, are these Kmart pretty much? But that doesn't look like it'd be comfortable to drive in. You know, you're sitting there with your legs on the thingies and you're short. Anyway, and then they decide that they're going to do room assignments and then they need to take the golf cart, as we said, to the guest house.
Luxury.
I know, where Robin and Giselle end up taking the guest house a la Ramona and Sonia.
Yeah.
Now, I was a bit sad because the thing with New York is when they're doing room assignments, you could do a whole episode on them divvying out room assignments.
And I'd watch every second.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Ramona and Sonia are bratty and I'm here for it. It's funny. This was just okay, that's where I'm staying. That's it. That's all that's happening. So, and then they complain in their confessionals, because obviously you have to, that the house is in the middle of nowhere.
I know. And they're complaining about the reception on their phones.
You're going to a lake house. What are you expecting?
Right?
And who are you calling? Besides your husband.
They all had to do the whole, I've got to call my husband. I was like, you just left.
I know.
An hour ago.
I'm sure there's a landline.
What does
pick up the fucking phone.
What does Karen say to Ray when she's like, did you miss me? And he's like, no.
And then she's trying to act like that they lost cell reception and says, can you hear me? And he's like, yup.
Oh, Team Ray.
Oh, so good. I mean, I'm loving Karen, but maybe we're loving Ray more.
Right?
That was so funny. Oh, I mean, if that happened to me, I'd be fucking Devo, but seeing as it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in my notes I wrote, Giselle should be happy to be in a house that's finished.
Oh, you shady bitch.
And Robin should be happy to get some space. I mean, her house could fit in like fucking two rooms of that house.
Yeah.
Actually, Robin's house is smaller than the guest house. But because it only has a single oven, Robin should be right at home, right?
Oh, you shady.
Look, it has two bedrooms and two bathrooms. Do you reckon Robin's house has two bathrooms?
No.
Nah. And then Candace rocks up in a town car. Can Candace even afford that car? Does production pay for that car? I hope production pays for that car because that's an expensive hire.
I don't think production's paying for it.
But if you're hiring a limo for an hour and away, that's a few hundred bucks. A town car's got to be more, no? I'm just guessing. Maybe I'm exaggerating my point, but
I don't know. So this is why I liked when Monique was driving.
Yeah, me too.
She's of the people.
She's keeping it real.
Ariana just did that little chest bump peace sign thingy. Yeah,
because I'm so 80s/90s.
If only I could have seen it.
All right. And then, so Candace rocks up in a town car. Oh, my God. And then we go straight to her confessional where she says she's genuinely hurt. And I rolled my eyes and then went, oh, hang on. Who are we genuinely hurt by? Because I can't remember which person you're actually referring to when you're talking about being upset.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it Giselle?
Is it Giselle? Is it Monique?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who is it at this point? It's got to be one of the two.
I mean, it wouldn't be Ashley. She's over that, right?
Exactly. Well, apparently it's Monique because she's rocking up to Monique's house and she's embarrassed about her behaviour. So now she's having to justify why she behaved that way. Mm. So therefore, I'm coming to your house, but really you're the one that hurt me. This is why I acted the way that I did because you're a cow first.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Candace.
Exactly. Oh, my God, I love it. But the best part of the scene was when Wendy just arrived and you just see the shot of Karen sitting at the breakfast bar just chowing down. Like, I don't care if y'all just argue and I'm just here eating, I'll eat. I love watching her eat. And that's when I wrote that she should have her own mukbang channel because I'd fucking watch that shit.
Mm.
I love it. I could watch Karen eat all day because she's so happy. And then Wendy finds out that Ashley is bringing her baby and she's fucking cut.
What the fuck?
She makes such a big to-do about it.
Right? And I was like, did you... Like, Wendy, why are you so pressed? Like, did you even ask Monique if you could bring your baby?
This is why she's cut. Like, Miss fucking CNN correspondent 4 degrees, it didn't occur to her to say, hey, can I bring my baby?
Communication, babe.
Well, I'm wondering if she's like, it's my first season. I shouldn't ask. Well, that's no one's fault but your own.
Well, why do you want the baby? What?
Well, she's just, her baby's like a few months old. She wants to be with her kid. That's fine. Bring your fucking baby.
I do not know why she cared so much about Ashley's situation.
Well, none of the women seem to understand either because they're all like, yes, when you've had your first baby, we freak out. But by your third, who's freaking out?
Well, and she kept saying, I'm a new mum. And they were like, you're not a new mum. This is your third kid. And she's like, but I'm a new mum.
No, you're not. They're like, you've got a new baby, but you're not a new mother.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she did not get that. She's like, I'm a new mom.
Maybe she just doesn't like not having attention.
Yeah, maybe she's like, oh, I'll be the one with the new baby. And then like Ashley's there and Monique's there and they're like, we don't care.
It's like, you're the new chick. Why don't you fucking cool your heels and wait for someone actually to give a shit about you? Because she's just very surprised that they're not treating her the same. It's like, of course they're not treating you the same. You're not friends yet.
Yeah. Like, if she'd said, Monique, can I bring my baby? And Monique was like, oh, nah. And then Ashley came with the baby. Fair.
Fair enough.
Fair.
But no, Monique even said, like, Ashley was telling me that she was uncomfortable with leaving the baby. And so I told her to bring the baby. If you had done that, I would have said the same thing to you. And they even brought it up later at the dinner, which let's just get it out there.
Yeah.
Because really all that happens between now and then is that they toast to vaginas. And,
a lot more happens.
A lot more happens.
I will just say.
Yes.
What's also so frustrating is that in this episode, Wendy's like, I'm a new mom. But I'm like, oh, 3 episodes ago, you were like, oh, I'm an old mom. I just dropped the kid at home and I went off to go to dinner.
When they went to Ashley's coming out.
And I was like, your attitude was completely different then. I noticed that Ashley did come with the nanny.
Well, no, she didn't come with a nanny. She came with her friend.
I think it's a nanny.
Well, she said.
Who she's friends with.
Well, she's leading us to believe that it is her friend that is available to babysit.
Mm.
Now, that friend may turn into a nanny, but I don't think she's officially a nanny. I think she's a babysitter.
Paid hourly.
I think she's a babysitter, not a nanny. There's a difference. Okay. There is a difference.
Sure. Sure.
One knows CPR, one doesn't, basically. Yeah. You would think Ashley would have the nanny and not the babysitter, but anyway. And then, yeah, so Wendy's confessional is all about why she couldn't bring the baby. And, of course, we both realise that no one told her she couldn't bring the damn baby. And then Candace, okay, this is weird. Candace asks about swimsuit activities because she has an Amazon forest in her pants. So clearly Chris is telling the truth. They are not having sex. But in any event, they toast to vaginas and Ashley arrives with her baby and the babysitter. Yes. But then before we get anything of Ashley.
The best scene in history.
The best scene in Housewives history.
God, wasn't it fun?
This was better than the table flip.
You reckon?
Well, we just said it was the best scene. We got to build it up to something.
I think maybe the table flip was iconic, but this was the most fun to watch.
That is very well put. So that way we can love them both. Excellent.
Yeah.
So Chachamba.
Chumbawamba.
decides that when Wendy says she's looking forward to getting to know the women on a deeper level, Chachamba says no. And fucking attacks the shit out of her head.
Isn't that great?
He goes at her. Like, bitch, get out of my fucking house.
And then the other ladies all scatter. House.
Oh, my God. No one comes to her defense.
Not a single soul.
No. Robin hides behind the counter on one side. Candace, Karen and Giselle huddle together. And then, okay, I did take a photo because the two of them are either side of Candace.
Well,
Candace
she's eating.
Brandishing a plastic fork upside down and she's still chewing on her food. So she's got a fork upside down and she's
fun.
Just chewing away. It's so good.
So funny.
Oh, that was heaven.
And I did notice, on my Twitter deep dive.
Oh, yes, go.
Candace in that moment's like, you know, liking it and having fun, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Now, on Twitter, her narrative is sort of like saying Monique trained the bird to attack.
No.
Because she's like, would you look at that, see? The uncouth teaching their animals to attack guests. What a time to be alive.
She was hiding on the other side of the counter, holding her fork upside down and chewing like this was the best thing she's ever fucking seen on TV.
Right?
And it was. It was a great scene.
Right? And she's like, teaching our children and our birds to fight pregnant. How charming. And then it's easy to love animals when human conflict runs rampant in one's life. Meanwhile, all of these tweets have had 20 likes max.
They're not funny, sweetheart.
They're not
You're
funny.
Grasping at straws.
What a straw grasp. Like,
your bird's got a fucking good judge of character. That's all it is.
Monique didn't train the bird,
No,
sweetie.
We all know the bird doesn't learn shit till it's won.
It's not learning how to poo.
I fucking told you that last episode. I Googled that shit. Like 1 year old, then they learn the words and then no.
And
it's no.
Were you not sort of concerned that we've got baby Dean and a bird flying around in the house? I was like, is baby Dean going to get avian flu?
he may get shit on, but who cares? No, I'm kidding. I assume that Monique is not going to have the bird out unless she's around.
Unless Wendy's around so she can get it to attack.
Because so far I haven't seen the bird on its own without Monique.
True.
I think Monique's very...
she's protective.
She's very cogent. Yes, she is. She wants to make sure that the bird's okay. So why would she leave it alone with these other women? So there were many screams. I mean, obviously one scream came from Wendy, but I got the impression there were more screams. Like, I got the impression they were all fucking screaming.
It was so funny.
It was so good. And then Wendy's on her own and she even goes, oh, my God, my wig. So I was like, well, bitch, why don't you glue your wig down this morning? But, you know, that's just me. And Giselle says, T'Challa has spoken. We cannot get to know you at a deeper level. And so, obviously, I've completely changed my mind about Chachamba. So I'm living for Chachamba and Wendy can live.
It's the best part of the Chachamba.
Oh, yeah.
Is the captions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
How good is that?
The subtitles that Chachamba gets.
It's so funny.
Because the next minute, Monique takes Chachamba to the toilet and he's pooping. And she even says, asks, did they scare the poop out of you? And he squawks and the subtitle says, yes. Yeah, it's so good.
I laughed like out loud.
Oh, me too. And there were more to come and they just got better and better.
They did, because then the birds started being like, yes.
Yes.
I was like, exactly. Oh, Trump is gay.
Yeah, well, duh. He's hanging out with housewives. How could you not be? And then Karen does say maybe Wendy was talking about Chachapa. So she's now calling him Chachapa.
Chachapa.
Chachapa's coochie box. And then says to the producer, did you see it was wonderful? So we know how Karen feels about Wendy still, so I'm happy about that because so I agree. And that's when Ashley walks in and Wendy's just pissed.
Wendy's being a cow.
Wendy sees her and the baby and she's pissed. And that's when Robin says that Wendy is a new mum. Wendy's not a new mum, rather, right, because it's her third baby. And Robin won't let up on that.
Good.
Robin's like, I've got two kids. Sometimes I forget what my second born son's name is.
And then the production put Carter's face and name up.
I loved it. But I get what she's saying, and not from personal experience, but I get from other friends who's like, yeah, after you've had one, it's like, whatever. But then she's like goading Ashley, who claps back. Look, Ashley had a very sweet voice at the beginning of her responses, but they weren't sweet responses.
Well, I think Ashley was sort of a bit like, what? Why are you coming for me?
She was, but then she's like, I don't have a nanny. You have a nanny. And then, of course, she clarifies and says, it's my friend looking after my baby.
Yeah.
I don't have a nanny.
That
is a different thing, but yes, we'll see. And then Wendy said that she has sacrificed to be there because she pumped around the clock. But it's like she's digging up. No one's saying that pumping isn't difficult. You have a job, you have a baby, now you're pumping all the time.
None of that's Ashley's fault.
No, it was her decision to do.
Yes.
And she's doing it because she's getting paid the $100,000 to be on TV.
And if you didn't want to be on the TV when you had a baby, then don't sign up.
Don't be on TV. No one's begging you to stay, sweetheart. But then she tries to do something which I completely agree with Ashley, who then says she was projecting, and I'd like to do it in that order, because she says that she doesn't – Wendy says she doesn't have any sympathy for Ashley. And I went, my first thought was, you're looking for sympathy. You didn't get any sympathy. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're projecting. And Ashley, who I think is very smart. And then finally we get Ashley saying the best Ashley words – mind your business. Mind your business, bitch.
She said, go FaceTime your kid and mind your business.
That's right.
Yes, FaceTime your kid if you're that upset.
That's right. And then she says, projecting much, which is completely accurate.
Yeah, she clocked Wendy real good.
Yeah, she totally clocked her on that. I love that. And then Wendy and Monique talk. And the best part of that is basically when Wendy leaves the room and Monique asks T'Challa, did you get all that, T'Challa? And the bird gets another subtitle. Yeah, she crazy.
That's so good.
So good. All right, so the ladies get ready for dinner. And for some strange reason, Candace goes into the guest house and she's singing again.
Oh, I know.
She sings Hello. No one cares.
That was awful.
Oh, it was so bad.
She looked good though.
Yeah, she pretty, whatever.
Yeah, sorry to bring it up.
I know, it's true. She starts sucking up to Giselle anyway. She's like trying to get up in a personal space. And Giselle lets her know that – so basically she's trying to apologize without actually apologizing as usual.
Yes.
And basically Giselle says that your tit for tat is very, very extreme.
Yeah,
that
Giselle's like, I gave you a shade pinch.
Yes.
And then you lashed out. Like,
she
it
said
wasn't
you gave
same.
Me a billy club, which I don't know what that is, but that's fine, and a machete with your Twitter fingers. And Candace's mouth was curled up like she was trying to hold down a smirk.
But it's so true. She was just tweeting that the other night. Like, she's still tweeting shit.
She got to stop tweeting. Is she getting paid per tweet?
Well, you know what? She's like the only one that's not Twitter verified. She doesn't have the blue tick on the Twitter.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. That's so delicious.
But she does on Instagram. I think she's more of an Instagram live up after the episode, bitch about the girls that way.
Because that's a job.
Yeah, but that way also it's not in writing, so they can't use it against her.
I see, right.
So maybe she's learning.
Oh, so she does like little Insta videos?
Videos, yeah.
I don't
live
follow
ones.
All the housewives on Insta. I should.
It's a lot to keep up with.
I follow Dorinda because I like to see the Bluestone Manor.
I love the Bluestone Manor. Rest in peace.
I'm so going to miss you. So, yeah, so at that point they decide to, like, make up because obviously Giselle's over it. And then we're
– she's like, I've got a wedding list in my mind and you've made your way back onto the B list.
On the B list.
I do not want to see Giselle and Jamal get remarried.
I don't know if I could watch those episodes. Of course I'm watching those episodes.
Yeah, who are you kidding?
They're going to be disgusting and delicious.
But I don't want to. I don't want it to happen.
No, but you know that Giselle at some point is going to cry. She's going to cry that day.
Yeah.
Just like Bethany cried and peed in a bucket, ooh, so will Giselle. Oh, well, at least Giselle's too old to get pregnant. There's one thing. Blessing in disguise. So night one, dinner time. Anika's a private chef, don't they all? Well, hopefully they do. Oh, did Candace? Oh, Chris cooked. Okay, well, anyway, moving on. So they decide to play a game, the game of curiosity.
Which is just truth or dare without the dare.
Pretty much. I never thought of it like that. You are correct.
So they said, we're going to play the game of curiosity. I was like, this is just such a fucking ploy.
Each person gets asked a question by the group and it has to be a deep question.
Amazing.
There was no particular order or was it just edited out?
Oh, I don't know. It did just feel like people being like, well, what about you?
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't be up for that game. But anyway, question one was to Candace, which was, what was it like for her to be with her peers at school? And she said she was one of the only people of colour. And then Giselle asks, is that why you got a nose job?
Giselle, you shish.
Now, I don't know how deep a question that was, but I'm glad she asked.
It was so funny.
It was so good.
She's like, I didn't have a nose job. And Giselle was like, oh, I thought
you... She didn't say. She said, did I have a nose job? She did not... She did not directly answer, no, I didn't get one.
And she's also, I just thought that was common knowledge.
Yeah, well, she...
Do you think she did? The side-by-side photo of her then...
Yes, she looked
then,
like she got a fucking nose job. There was a bump in the kitty one. There was like a full... You can see the way the natural light hits the nose that shows the contour and the light. She looks like she had a nose job.
Giselle, you're a bitch.
She's a fucking bitch and sometimes I loves it. So delicioso. Then they ask Robin when she's going to get married. I don't care.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah. And then Karen asks Giselle, so since Jamal cheated on you and had other babies with other women, how is it now? I mean, that was me paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And Giselle was good in her response. I think her and Jamal have had some counselling of like, this is how people are going to approach it. Mm-hmm. We need to be prepared.
They had to have.
Yeah, because I would be Devo if someone asked me that on camera. I'd just go red, right?
Yeah. Then even still, Karen's like, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, well, no. And Giselle was basically cool. She was like, it's about forgiveness and trust and moving forward.
Yeah.
And then we get that newspaper headline or that online digital headline that says, Pastor Jamal Bryant says he believes in an open marriage. I just forgot to tell my ex-wife.
Oh, my God.
So good. Look, I'm with Karen. I don't trust him.
No.
I don't trust him. Yeah. No way. Sorry. It's not like they're living in the same place. And she keeps saying, like Giselle keeps saying, you know, I've seen him grow. I like who he's become. Look, maybe she's correct. No one else has seen that. He's not around. So you can't expect anyone else to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's true, but time will tell, I guess. And then question four. I loved question four. It was, again, Karen, and it was to Ashley, which was, has your booty hole healed?
Karen's getting the questions in.
Karen is not giving a shit this season. She's just going, whatever I want to say, I'm going to say it.
Good.
I'm loving it. So I don't know if that's what happens at 50, but I'm looking forward to that shit. Is Karen 50?
I think she's past that.
Yeah, I think so. Giselle's 50, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I can't tell anymore. And then she says, when Ashley says no, her booty hole isn't healed, she says, first of all, I want to thank you for sharing at the dinner about your booty hole condition. Second, is your booty hole important to your marriage? I love it. Love it.
Is that what Karen said? Her booty hole is retired.
Yeah, she said she doesn't have to work that hard anymore. Good for her.
That is so funny.
She's so funny. I'm with you on that. I'm loving her. Can we just have the Karen show?
Like, it's so much funnier for Karen to talk about a sex life than it is for Wendy to talk about
it
a sex
is.
Life.
It is. It so is.
That punching up, punching down thing.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. She's just being herself. And
loosey goosey.
Oh, so
apple
good.
Juicy.
This is my apple juice. And then the next question, which is again Karen, because she's fucking on fire, so why not? She turns around to Wendy and says, according to the girls, you had questions about my intimacy with my husband. And I wrote, yes, Diva.
Yeah.
Fucking good timing. Like when the guard's down and we're all having a giggle, throw the 1-2 punch. I'm up for it.
And was anyone else like, oh, I've got a question? And Karen's like, nope. No, I'm steamrolling.
I wondered if they asked questions in production. We're like, boring.
Yeah,
we want the Karen questions. These are good.
They're good.
If you were sitting there for these questions, you'd just be like, oh my God.
Right.
If you're a production assistant on this show, how excited would you be with your
so
life?
Excited.
And then Wendy reveals, she says that Karen dismissed her. And we get the flashback to the Sip and See where basically Karen just
dismissed her to talk to Lump.
Talk to Lump. Yeah. What a good excuse, though.
I really liked how, like, when Karen's like, yeah, I heard this and this. And, like, was that when Robin's like, yeah, I told her.
Yes.
Everyone's like, Robin said this. And Robin's like, yep, I did.
Yeah, no, Karen turns around and says, Robin tattletailed or something.
And Robin's just like, yep, I did. And like laughed. And I was like,
because she said, oh, and Robin will admit it. And she's like, yep.
And Robin's like, yep.
Fair enough. Well, if you're not the only one, like, who cares?
Robin didn't care either.
Like, Robin's getting a pass left, right, and center here. She's doing well this season. You are right. Robin and Karen are the peeps this season, which is why, like, if anyone goes to piss them off, they're going to get real pissed.
Mm.
If you're having like a crazy season, like you're not getting in anyone's face, you're keeping your mouth shut, you're keeping it clean, but you're keeping it clever. If someone tries to goad you, you're just like, fuck you, I've had a clean season, you can go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Listen to me with my freaking wishful thinking. But anyway, then Wendy in her confessional saying she's been on the same board and subcommittee and now we know that's bullshit.
We've disproved that, Wendy.
Thank you, Twitter. Yeah, so Karen's like, we can go out to dinner, which...
never happened.
Which never happened. I wonder if Wendy's going to come back.
I don't think so.
How sad is it if you're a one-season wonder?
Like what, Cindy Barship or whatever her name was.
Exactly, whatever her name was. And then we had the Tim the Toolman Taylor one. Who was she? The one in New York.
Barb.
Barb the Builder.
With the spray tan on the white furniture.
Yes. I used to call her Barb the Builder.
Can we tan it? Yes, we can.
Oh, my God.
We were just talking about the dismissiveness.
Oh, yeah. And the subcommittee, blah, blah, blah.
Didn't end up doing dinner.
All right. So, Monique brings up the scene. So she does a little segue, but then brings up the scene in the kitchen, which I don't know why we're going into that segue, but let's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know why. I'm loving this segue, but I just don't see how diffusing a situation is bringing up another bad situation of the kitchen
in the morning.
Because
it's good TV. That's
true. True that. And then Giselle tells Wendy that it was all her, which it was. Like, basically, Monique's sort of like, what the hell happened? And Wendy's like, what do you mean what happened? I'm like, what do you mean? And Giselle's like, well, it was all your fault.
Uh-huh.
And Robin even asks Wendy, should she apologize to Ashley? And Wendy says no.
Wendy's like, I have nothing to apologize for.
It's not that she has nothing to apologize for. She doesn't want to apologize. She should have said that and the ladies would have gone, well, that's your business. But saying I have nothing to apologize for, she should have just said, I'm not apologizing and that's it.
So I have looked into a bit of what the commentary about this.
Oh, yes.
I just want to preface it as a little white boy. I don't know what I'm talking about. But
that's fine.
I think a bit of what Wendy was saying and what Wendy's like followers and friends on Twitter and that were saying was that Wendy, as the darker skinned person, felt like she's just getting always, like the darker skinned people are always getting called aggressive when compared to the lighter skinned people like Ashley.
Oh.
So that's the commentary I was seeing. Like when you say, so Wendy would just say, I was being assertive, but then you're saying, no, you're being aggressive. So it was a bit of like that sort of tension there and sensitivities around that.
Oh, I wish they discussed it for us.
Yeah, I know. That would have been really interesting. Yeah. But I guess in the heat of the moment, you can't really bring out
those issues. I mean, it's really not up to her to educate. It's up to those who are, you know, surprised like us to go, okay, let's go and educate ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
So, I mean, I guess like, yeah, there's that tension exists on that
so
spectrum.
So that's why she's like, I'm not apologizing.
That's why I think at the moment she's like, I've got nothing that warrants an apology.
Oh, it would have been great if they discussed it. But again, she wasn't in the fucking mood to discuss it.
She was. Maybe next episode that will come.
See, live it and learn. I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
That's sort of what some people have been saying. So, and I can sort of see how you might be sensitive about being called aggressive. If that's the...
Yeah, fucking fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that she shouldn't have apologized, but at the same time, what the fuck do I know?
I mean, from us watching it, though, it did look like she came at Ashley out of nowhere.
It did. It totally did.
Especially since there's been no lead-up conflict between them.
Again, we're just getting to know Wendy. So we're like, why are you being so aggressive? But she's basically saying, well, here's my button.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if I'm getting surprised by someone's interpretation of events, then, yeah, I'm with you. I'll just shut the fuck up and let others who know better discuss it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Oh, I like that. I like that there's more to it.
That's the subtext, I think.
Yeah.
With the aggressive comment. I still think she was being a bit of a bitch.
I think she was being a bitch. Yes, yeah. I do.
But yeah.
Yeah. But again, I think I would like more discussion on the area so I can understand that more and then reevaluate my stance on her being a bitch. That's all. But I did love, okay, and I know I'm just segueing out of it, but I did love how Ashley just went, bye, Wendy, gone with the wind, Wendy.
Oh, gone with the wind, Wendy was such a good line.
I know, how funny was that?
I was like, thank you, Ashley. This is what we needed.
I know, it's true.
Your spunk to come through.
I love it. Who doesn't love a bit of spunk coming through?
And also she's like, I'm good on you. I'm good on you.
That's right, yes.
Loved it.
I know. That's pretty much it. I mean, Wendy did say, I don't talk to your kind, and I didn't know what that meant. So perhaps what you had just mentioned is what she's referring to. Oh, I hope we get to...
I don't want to say that that's what it is, but that's what it's...
Well, then either way, I hope we get to revisit and clarify. I'd like a clarification.
But then she got so much more fucking annoying, Wendy. When Ashley's like, this is why you don't have female friends.
Yeah.
And then Wendy's like, you're a fake bitch. Like, it just escalated. And then Wendy's like, you call me Dr. Wendy.
Yeah, that's right. When you address me correctly.
That's when that whole, like, classist thing comes in.
I didn't like when she said, how did she put it? Let me see. She said something about... I don't talk to your kind.
Mm-hmm.
What does she mean by I don't talk to your kind?
It might be a class thing. Like, is Ashley uneducated? Like, compared to Wendy, everyone is.
I mean, the thing is, there's educated, and I understand that you have multiple degrees.
That doesn't make you a better person.
No, it absolutely doesn't. But it also doesn't mean that someone's educated. Now,
like,
I have an undergrad, you have an undergrad. If you've got a PhD, well, yeah, you're obviously... You're more educated. Yeah. That's fine, but I don't know. I just
think there's something classist with Wendy. Where, like, remember last episode when she's like, I want the help to be old and decrepit.
Yeah.
Like, just calling someone the help.
Yeah. True. I understand she's very proud of her education. It's a struggle. It's hard. It's hard work.
It's hard.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that someone who doesn't have a degree is below you in any way. And potentially that's she's throwing it in Ashley's face. And, I mean, unless you're sitting at a table with five other people with five PhDs, and I'm not saying they'd agree, but no one's agreeing with you, sweetheart.
Ashley doesn't have to call you Dr. Wendy. She's not your student.
No, and also Ashley's very articulate.
I know. Gone with the wind, Wendy.
Clearly more articulate than I, because I actually said very inarticulate. I could have just said she's articulate. But anyway... Yeah, exactly. Her Gone with the Wind, Wendy. I loved
that.
What
a great literary reference, Ashley.
Exactly.
Maybe she did English Lit or
maybe she
film.
Did. I don't know. I've always found that Ashley, she speaks very well and she's very quick-witted, etc. So yeah. I'm living for Ashley and I'm not living for Wendy right now.
No.
I mean, I'm loving that you got 4 degrees, but again, if that is your only storyline, well, talk to Candace and get her to tell you what I think, because...
We're not going to call you fucking Dr. Wendy.
No one's calling you Dr. Wendy.
I don't want to call my own doctor a doctor.
Yeah, I don't call my... I call my doctor by his name.
See, and I don't know if that's like our like Australian thing where it's like everyone's just their first name.
I don't know.
And...
Yeah, I don't call them. I mean, unless I'm seeing a doctor that is someone that is older than I and I'm showing respect in that sense.
Yeah. And it's a bit like you're not even a real doctor. It's a bit like Ross, the paleontologist on Friends. Like,
exactly.
When he's like, Dr.
Geller.
And it's like, you're not a fucking doctor.
You're not an MD, sweetheart. You're a PhD. Calm down.
But I thought it was a great little conflict to end the episode on.
Oh, loved it. I did love it. I agreed. And I was very happy that Wendy brought my Ashley back. Wendy pissed my Ashley off enough to bring her back. It was fantastic.
I know. Because... It's so funny that Ashley and Candace had been fighting for 4 episodes and Ashley's just calm, calm, calm. And then you make one comment about bringing the baby.
Well, the thing is, she is a new mum and she's got that mum protective instinct. Like, don't mention my fucking kid.
Yeah.
I get it. Everyone gets it but her. It's strange. So we're at that point of next time on Real Housewives of Potomac, we get catwalk competition in workout gear. Ashley twerks. Karen says the line that we're all thinking, which is, I didn't think you could twerk with a torn booty. Loved it.
True.
Oh, sorry, with a torn booty hole. I can't even say it. Giselle gossips to Wendy about Karen. Well, what else is new? She's gossiping to someone. We'll see what happens then. That'll be good. And then we get the text from Candace's friend to her cell phone about Michael. And the text reads, because I paused and typed, your girl baby daddy was out last night at a strip club. My girl is a bartender at the strip club and I came to see her. Yeah, right. They're both strippers. Charles, he was there with several strippers. I got her to pretend she was taking a selfie and take his pic. He was talking about how he got a boyfriend and a wife.
Oh.
That's the end of the episode.
Oh.
Actually, the last scene is Ashley trying to breastfeed or bottle feeding Dean, and she's sort of suggesting that she's having issues breastfeeding. So. Right. I was going to say they're milking it, but that's probably not a good thing to say.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for this Michael
stuff.
Oh,
my God. I really hope that it's all out in the open next episode, because they've been teasing that since episode one and now we've just finished episode five. So I need to see it, but how good does it look?
It looks good.
So good. I'm loving the fact that it is at the lake house. So there's none of that, like, let's see what she says at lunch. It's like, bitch, you're in the next room. Come out and let's talk about
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
But then we did see for the next episode that they're having fun. So I'm like, tell me this isn't going to happen in the end of the next episode.
It might.
All right, I'll prepare myself emotionally.
Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next
Thank
week.
Thank you for listening to Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks, Mariana.
Thanks, Chino.
Good on you, Chino. He's ready for bed.
We all are, darling. All right, let's go. Bye.
Bye.